All right. Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. It's good to see y'all. I'm glad you're here. And if you're watching online, thank you for watching. We're glad to have you, too. If this is your first time watching, my name is Wade, and we're glad to have you. But let me go ahead and pray for us, and we'll get right into tonight's message. Father, thank you for the message you gave me this week. And God, I just pray for everybody that's here and everybody that's watching online, Lord, that you would help us to set aside all of our worries and the stress of today. I know we've all got problems and things that are still in our focus. But I pray that right now in these next few minutes, Lord, that you would help us to give you our focus and to listen to what it is you're saying to us. And Lord, I just pray that you give us understanding of what's being said. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to take the things that you're showing us and help us to apply them in our lives, God, so that we can bear the fruit you want us to bear and be the people you want us to be. And Lord, I just lift up everybody that's sick tonight. I just pray that you'd be with them and comfort them and help them through that. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to pick up right where we left off last week, but if you haven't been here for the last few weeks, we've been in a series on the armor of God. And it all started with a verse before we get to the armor of God. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And the Apostle Paul had been telling the new believers in Ephesus how to go from living in their old lives and their old behaviors, their old belief systems, to living a new life as a follower of Jesus Christ. And he was explaining to them how to make that transformation from the old man to the new man. And, you know, that includes women, too, when we say, you know, the old man to the new man. When the Bible's talking about man, it's talking about mankind. And when it's talking about the old man, and the new man is talking about our nature. You know, the old man is he has the nature that we inherited from Adam. And our new nature is the Holy Spirit, which we get from when we surrender our life to Jesus Christ. We become spiritually alive when we surrender our life to Jesus as Savior and Lord. You know, I told you last week that this was the message that Paul was preaching to everybody, not just to people at Ephesus. You know, his letters were worded different, you know, depending on who he was writing to, whether it was the Corinthians or people in Colossae or wherever, but it was the same message. They were written different, but the message was the same. And his message was, you know, if we're going to be followers of Christ, if we're going to start a new life, then we have to die to our old ways, and we got to be born again through the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit teach us how to live our new lives. because our old nature, through Adam, it brings death. But the Holy Spirit brings life. And there's a verse for that, and I want to share it with you tonight. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, and even so in Christ shall all be made alive." You know, when we're born with the nature that we get from Adam, it leads us to death. It's a sin nature. It leads us to do things that are contrary to God and contrary to what God wants us to do. But when we surrender our life to Christ, you know, we talk about this quite a bit. In Ephesians, it talks about we become spiritually alive. And that's what Paul's message is to all the people that are wanting to, you know, change their old life for a new life as followers in Christ. And he's telling all of them, and like I told you last week, he's telling us too, the message has not changed. It's the same for us as it was for them. Our new life is a spiritual life, and we have to live it by the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit. We can't live a spiritual life being guided by the flesh or being guided by our old sin nature. The only way we can live a spiritual life is by faith in Christ through the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians 6, he's telling them how to do that. And I don't like to take up that much of our time to explain that, but if you hadn't been here for the last couple of weeks, you need to know that. But last week we talked about the belt of truth. You know, that's the first piece of armor that's named in Ephesians 6. You know, how our faith has to be genuine. And if you remember that word there in Ephesians 6:14, the word girt, means our faith has to be genuine. It has to be all in. That word girt means all around us. We're surrounded by our own faith. You know, it can't be just part of us. It can't be something that we wear on a shirt. It can't just be something we are a day or two a week. It has to be all the way through. It has to be real and not just for show. It can't be just skin deep for other people to see. You know, I used the example of a banana last week for integrity. You know, when you peel a banana, it's a banana on the inside and the outside. It's a banana all the way through. It has integrity. It is on the inside what it appears to be on the outside. And that's what we have to be in our faith. And that's what we talked about last week with the belt of truth. Tonight's message, it comes from the same verse in Ephesians 6:14, but the last part of the verse says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So last week, we started with the belt of truth, and we made that decision. You know, I'm all in. I'm going to be genuine in my faith. And I'm not just going to say I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm actually going to be one. You know, I'm not just going to go to church. I'm going to start being a part of the church. And I'm going to start living the way God's word says to live. You know, being guided by it. And being guided by the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm actually going to let Jesus be my Lord and let him decide what is allowed in my life or what is not allowed in my life. You know, not my own desires, not my old nature, my old wants and my emotions. I'm going to let Jesus decide how I treat other people. And I'm not just going to treat them the way that I think I should treat them. And I'm not going to treat them how I think they deserve to be treated. I'm going to treat people the way God tells me to treat people. You know, if Jesus is Lord, then I have to do things his way. And the reason I stopped there last week is because when we have to know that about the belt of truth. You know, if we're going to have faith, it needs to be genuine faith. It has to be all the way through. And that's what we talked about last week, going all the way in. And the reason I saved the breastplate of righteousness for tonight is because when we do that, and we do go all in, the enemy don't like that. He hates it when we make that decision. And that's why that's why Paul went right into the breastplate of righteousness. Once you make that decision that I'm surrendering to the truth, then the enemy's going to hit you with everything he's got. He don't want you to be nice to people. He don't want you to tell anybody that God loves them. He don't want you to serve God, and he doesn't want you to stop doing the things that you've always done. You know, he's pleased if you keep your old sin nature. He's pleased if you keep doing the things that are not right with God. And the reason he calls the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate goes right here. You know, it protects your heart, it protects your lungs, it protects all of your vital organs. And the enemy is aiming at your heart. He's going to come after your heart, because if he can get your heart, then he's got all of you. You know, out of your heart comes your thoughts, and out of our thoughts come our actions. So all he's got to do is hit our heart. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. It says to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, when we put on the belt of truth, we're believing the right thing. And when we put on the breastplate of righteousness, then we're doing the right thing. The enemy don't want us to do the right thing. So the belt is in our faith is believing, but the the breastplate of righteousness is actually doing those things. And the enemy don't want you to do those things. He don't want you to do the right thing. We share this verse a lot out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, verse 17, Casey, it says, for any man that is in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So when we put on our belt of faith, I mean belt of truth, and we're all in our faith, then the old things need to die, and we need to start doing new things. We need to start doing God's things, and the enemy don't want us to do that. He wants us to keep doing our old things. But if we skip on down to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, "For he has made him to be sin for us," talking about Jesus, "who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus is our righteousness. Just like we read last week, that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the truth, but he's our righteousness too. By believing in him and putting our faith in him, God counts us as righteous. You know, through him, we are righteous in God's eyes, but we can't be righteous without him, and we can't live a righteous life without obeying him. That's why I said the belt of truth is our faith is genuine. We believe Jesus, and the breastplate of righteousness is obeying him, you know, doing what he says. So the belt helps me to be righteous, and the breastplate helps me to do righteous. And that's what the breastplate is for. We have to protect our faith. We have to protect our heart. You know, out of our hearts, like I said, that's where our thoughts come from. And out of our thoughts, that's where our actions come from. That's how we do either do the right thing or we do the wrong thing. It starts in our hearts. So we have to make sure that whatever is going into our hearts is right. And that's what righteousness means. That means right with God. It means approved by God, in accordance to the will of God. It means to be in agreement with God. And an easy way for me to remember it, and not only to remember it, but an easy way for me to keep it right there where I can apply it to my life and understand it, is I got to make things simple. You know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and I have to get things down to where they're really simple, where I can understand them and I can remember it, and that way I can apply it to my everyday life. So the reason I did that, or the way I did that for me, you know, like I said, righteousness means to be right with God, approved by God, in accordance to the will of God, and in agreement with God. But what I tell myself is, you know, it means to be okay with God. And what I mean by that is, you know, I ask myself, is what I'm thinking okay with God? And if the answer is no, then, you know, I need to figure out what is okay with God. Is what I'm doing okay with God? And is the way I'm treating other people okay with God? You know, if somebody that's getting on my nerves, and I'm treating them in a wrong way, is that okay with God? And if I'm really wearing the belt of truth, if my faith is really genuine and I really want to please the Lord, I'm going to know when it's not okay. Because if I'm surrendered and submitted to Christ, then the Holy Spirit's going to tell me that's not right. And I'm going to know when it's not righteous or right with God. And I'll bring it to him and say, I know this is not right. And I'll ask him to show me what is right and show me how to do that. And God will show you. You know, it says in James, if any of us lack wisdom, just ask God and he will give it to you. And he won't get on you for asking him. But I think one of the biggest barriers for Christians as a whole is admitting when we're wrong. You know, there's just something in us that doesn't want to admit that I'm doing something the wrong way. We can, you know, Pastor Josh was talking about this a couple of weeks ago. We can have the right foundation and still build the wrong thing on that foundation. But we have a problem admitting when we're wrong. And because we have a problem with admitting when we're wrong, other than say, I'm doing this the wrong way, we continue to do that. And, you know, that's called pride when we won't admit we're wrong. And, you know, we can't be prideful and righteous at the same time. You know, remember, righteousness means to be right with God and approved by God. And God does not approve pride. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in a bunch of different places that God hates pride. He hates arrogancy. And I picked a couple of verses just to share with you, but there's way more than a couple of verses. All through the Bible, it says that God hates pride. That was Satan's original sin, was pride. He wanted to be worshipped instead of God. But in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate, says the Lord. But Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 5, it says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. So, you know, we can't be an abomination to the Lord and be righteous or right with God at the same time. You just can't do that. And where does that verse say that we are prideful? In our hearts. It says, everyone that is proud in heart. That's what the breastplate is for, is to protect our hearts from getting prideful. And, you know, we got to guard ourselves from becoming prideful. And when we won't admit we're wrong, then we start becoming self-righteous because we're self-approved. And when we become self-approved, then we'll get to the point where we don't care what God thinks. We don't care what God's word says or anyone else says. I think I'm right, and I approve myself. And that's where we wind up, becoming self-righteous. And we'll think, I've got this. And that's not a good place to be, because we don't got this. You know, without Jesus Christ, we are not righteous. None of us are. You know, he is righteous, and we are righteous in him. But outside of him, none of us are righteous. You know, it breaks my heart when I think about people who become, and we see it quite a bit, you know, people, they learn more and more about God and they read their Bible and they become so knowledgeable of Scripture that they, you know, they think they've become righteous on their own. They think they've gained their own righteousness because they know so much Scripture. And that's not the case. You know, when we get into a deep, intimate, personal relationship with God and living in a life that pleases God, that is righteous. You know, but they become so righteous that nobody can tell them anything about God. And they have no need for church. They get to where they don't have any need for fellowship or anybody or anything. And without realizing it, they became so self-righteous, they didn't need anything but their Bible. That they get to the point where they don't even think they need God because they've got the Scriptures. And that's just not the case. We can't have a righteous, godly life without God. We can't have a righteous, godly life without other believers in our life. We can't have a righteous, godly life without going and being part of a church. And what happens is when we get to that point of self-righteousness and we think that we are so knowledgeable that we don't need anything else, then we just become miserable judges of other people. And all we can do is find flaws in other people, and we're constantly criticizing other people because nobody is right with God but them in their own eyes. And and they honestly think in their hearts, back to our heart again, that they're serving God by sitting alone somewhere reading their Bibles without anybody to witness to. And that's what we're supposed to be, is witnesses for Christ, without anybody to preach to, without anybody to teach, and without anybody to help. You know, if we're not helping other people, if we're not sharing Jesus Christ with other people and furthering the kingdom of God, then we're missing the call of God. We're all called to tell others about Jesus. In Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 22, it says, because that when they knew God, you know, we all start out good. We all come to church and we surrender our life to Christ and we want to be part of the church. But they knew God, and they glorified him not as God. This is the slow decline that I just talked about. And neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, we can read and read and read, and if we're not, you know, correctly applying Scripture to our own life, if we're just using it to judge other people, then the Bible says we become fools. We become our own gods. And, you know, what did that verse say got darkened in verse 21? It says their hearts got darkened. And righteousness is humility before God. You know, humility, humbling ourselves before God, not pride. you know, and pride goes both ways. We can talk about self-righteous people all day long, but there's also the other side of that. You know, if we're self-righteous, we can look down on others, but we can also, if we got sin in our lives and we won't admit it, like I was just talking about a minute ago, we can look up at other people and we'll think to ourselves that you think you're better than I am, and because they don't have the same sin in their life. And that's not the case at all most times. They just may be being obedient to God in an area of their life that you're not. And, you know, that condemns you when you see that. It convicts you. And those people are not condemning you. You're just getting convicted because you see something in them that you're not seeing in yourselves. And so that goes both ways. We can get self-righteous, or we can think other people are self-righteous just because they're living a more obedient life than I am. I don't know how many of you were here last Sunday for Pastor Josh's message. You know, he was talking about how God sent an opposing wind against Jonah because Jonah was running from the call of God in his life. And Jonah was running from God because he was self-righteous against the Ninevites that God was sending him to preach to. He hated the Ninevites. He didn't want to go witness to them. And when we become self-righteous, we do the same thing. Instead of sharing the truth of God with other people and the love of God with other people, we turn away from them just like Jonah did. And because to us, they're repulsive. You know, they're not as holy as I am, like we just talked about. That's what Jonah thought. He didn't want to go preach to the Ninevites because he thought he was better than they were. And but when we're prideful like Jonah was, God opposes us too. In James 4 and verse 6, it says, but God gives more grace. He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. So if we're prideful, then God's going to oppose us. He's going to resist us, and we'll be opposing him too. But God gives grace to the humble. And when we're self-righteous too, then we'll start telling ourselves, you know, I'm not like those sinners. I'm not one of those people. And that should never be a state of mind in church. That shouldn't be a state of mind in church. That shouldn't be a state of mind in recovery. You know, if you're in recovery, you're in recovery. You are one of those people. You know, I've been, by the grace of God, I have been sober for 7 years. It'll be 8 years in October. But I know I didn't do that myself. I know God did that for me. And I know I am one of those people. I was telling them Tuesday night, I know for a fact in my mind that if I just stop everything that I'm doing today, if I quit coming to church, quit reading my Bible, quit going to meetings, then without a doubt, it wouldn't take long at all. Then I would be right back where I started. I'd be right back with my drinking because it's not my decisions that I made. It's not my power that has kept me all these years. It's God. And if I take God out of my life, then I'll return right to it. And it's the same in church. We're all sinners. We can't get to the point where we look down on people. None of us can. We're all the same. Romans 3:23 says that. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners. And so am I. The only righteous thing we can do is believe in and obey Jesus Christ and obey the word of God. Can we live a righteous life? Yes. And can we become saints? Yes. But we all start out with a sin nature. We all start out as sinners. And do saints sin? Yes, they do. You know, but we will never be holier than somebody else. You know, I'm, like I said, I may be living a more righteous life than you, or you may be living a more righteous life than me by living obedience to the Lord in an area that I'm not. But that doesn't make you holier than me. That makes you more obedient than me. God is holy. None of us are holy on our own. Sometimes the holiest thing that you can do, or the holiest thing that I can do, is to confess my sin. Like it says in 1 John 1:9, and let God forgive me, and God cleanse me. From what? You know, what does God cleanse us from? unrighteousness. You know, if we want to live a righteous life, then we've got to get to the point where we confess our sins. If we want to admit we're wrong, if we won't confess that we've done something wrong and let God cleanse us, then we're still unrighteous. And that breastplate of righteousness, that's what it is for. It helps me to know what is right, to know what is wrong, and to admit when I'm wrong and bring it to God and let Him remove the unrighteousness from me. And, you know, God cleanses me from that, and I get right with Him through Him. I can't get right with God on my own. I have to bring it to God and let Him clean me. And if we back up into verse 8, verse 8 says, if I become self-righteous and say that I have no sin, then the truth is not in me. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So if I say that I have no sin, then I've taken the belt of truth off, and the truth is not in me, and I've become self-righteous, and I've deceived myself. And, you know, that just means that the truth that we talked about last week is not genuine, because my faith is not pure, and it's not in God and His authority. It's in my own knowledge and my own opinion of myself and my own opinion of other people. And like I said, the breastplate of righteousness is to protect us from that. It's to protect us from the enemy. And sometimes that enemy is ourselves. You know, we always like to say the enemy is Satan, and it is. And sometimes the enemy is other people. But sometimes that enemy is ourselves. And I know that's hard to hear, but that's the truth. We have to keep on remembering that this is a spiritual battle. It's not a battle of wits. You know, I can't get smart enough to outsmart the enemy. None of us can. You know, we can read the Bible the rest of your life, and you can learn how to live a obedient, godly life. But we never get smart enough to outsmart the enemy. When we quit doing things God's way and we take on and think that we're smart enough, we never will be. So I'm not smart enough, and I can't get smart enough to outsmart the enemy. We have to be humble enough and submitted enough to God's authority in our lives so that we're under His protection and not our own. That's how we defeat the enemy, by being submitted to the Lord. You know, the verse we started out with, Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, not our might. So how do we do that? You know, it's good for me to get up here and tell you all this stuff, but it don't do you a bit of good, you know, if I don't tell you how to do that. And I never want to get up here and tell you what you need to do and not tell you how to do it. And, you know, I don't never want to give you my opinion on how to do something either, or my opinion of what you need to do. So I'll show you what God's Word says about it. In Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And, you know, that's being broad. That means any of us. How am I going to cleanse my own way? And the Bible tells us, by taking heed thereto according to your word. With my whole heart, there's our heart again. You know, we got to watch what we're putting in. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Keep God's commandments. And here it is. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, verse 10, it says, my whole heart. God's word is the breastplate of righteousness. God's word tells me what is okay with God. Or it will shine a light on what is not okay with God or not right with God. And, you know, I hear people all the time saying, well, I have trouble reading. And I mean, I hear that a whole lot. And that's probably the number one excuse for not getting in God's word, is I have trouble reading. Okay. I mean, that if you have trouble reading, you have trouble reading. A lot of people do. But you've got to get God's word in there so you can listen to it. There's a million different ways you can listen to God's word. You can listen to podcasts. You can do the a Bible app, and your phone will sit there and read the Bible to you. So so you can listen to it. You can come to classes to learn it. Let somebody else read it and tell you what it says. You know, come to class to learn, not just for attendance, but come and pay attention and actually hear what's being taught. And I promise you, God will hide those things in your heart, like it says in verse 11. And it will be there. And then you have a choice, you know, to do what is right or not. You know, verse 11 says that I might not sin against you. It don't say I will not sin against you. It says I might not. But if you've got that stuff in you, if you've got God's word in you, the Holy Spirit will show you what is right. But it's up to you to do what is right. But whether you read it or whether you listen to it, whether you watch it, you know, there's another way you can get God's word in you. You can watch it. There's tons and tons and tons of sermons you can watch on YouTube. Or on the internet, you could watch sermons all day long, but you got to get God's word in you. But however you get it in there, just get it in there, and the Holy Spirit will call it into remembrance when you need it. But it's got to be in there to call upon. That's actually a promise from Jesus himself. In John 14 and verse 26, Jesus says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, that we receive when we surrender our life to Christ, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So Jesus promises to bring into your mind through the Holy Spirit everything that he has said, that it's recorded in the Bible. Everything. All you got to do is get it in there, and the Holy Spirit will bring it up when you need it. You know, like I keep saying, read it, listen to it, or watch it, but get it in there, and it will be there when you need it. The Holy Spirit will guide you. And then you won't have to wonder, you know, am I doing the right thing? You know, no matter what situation you get in, if you've got God's word in you, he'll show you what you need to do, or he'll tell you, you don't need to do that. He tells me that a lot. You don't need to handle it that way, because even after we come to Christ, we still have our old tendencies. You know, if somebody smarts off to you, what do you want to do? You want to snap back at them. But the Holy Spirit says, that's not what you need to do. And he'll help us to do things the right way. And he'll make it clear to you, this is okay with God, or this is not okay with God. But we've got to get God's word in us. Now, I know I sound like a broken record, but either read it, listen to it, or watch it. But somehow, get it inside of you. And the Holy Spirit will bring it up when you need it. But like I said, it's still a choice. One of the verses that changed my life, and I was one of those people that we talked about just a little while ago. I had all this knowledge of Scripture because I had so much time on my hands. That's all I would do is sit and read the Bible and read the Bible and read the Bible. But I didn't go to church. I didn't witness for Christ. I didn't serve God. Didn't do anything. All God's word was to me was a big, long list of rules that I could judge other people with. And I ran across this verse going on 10 years ago now. And, you know, it changed my life because I kept saying, yeah, I'm a man of God. I belong to God. And I wasn't a man of God at all. I wasn't living for God. I was living contrary to God. And I read this, and it was like Jesus was talking straight to me. And he's like, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and you're not doing the things which I say? And that really got my attention, you know. And that's one of my favorite verses today. It really hurt the first time I read it, but I'm glad it did, because it led me to actually making him my Lord and actually being obedient to him. You know, if I've got my belt on, if my faith is genuine and true, and Jesus is my Lord, then the answer is yes. I'm going to do whatever he says. You know, there's no debating with him, no trying to justify my actions or justify what I'm doing. If he says this is the way it is, then my answer is yes. You know, no arguing with God, just a rearranging of things so that they are right with God. And, you know, if rearranging needs to take place, that's on me. I need to change. I need to make the changes in my life to line up with God's word. You know, God never changes, and His Word never changes. So if any changes need to take place, it has to be in me, in my life. So we have to guard our hearts, and mostly from ourselves. But the breastplate also guards our lungs. And this is the the last thing I want to talk about tonight. You know, what we take in, what we expose ourselves to, that makes us who we are. That helps, you know, that builds our character, whether it's good character or bad character. You know, what we let in, what we breathe in, what we breathe out. And just like we have to get God's Word in us, we have to keep the world and the enemy and all the negative things out of our hearts. We need to get the good stuff in, and we need to keep the bad stuff out. And we can't do that by being constantly filled with input that we shouldn't be getting. And nobody likes this part of the sermon. Nobody likes to hear these things because, you know, most people are getting the input that they shouldn't be getting. And it really does. It grieves me when I hear people listen to music that is just poisoning their souls. You know, you can listen to the lyrics of the music, and if you're repeating them, then, you know, that's going straight into your soul. That is telling your heart, this is my truth. This is what I believe in. And, you know, I used to listen to all that stuff too. You know, I had a bigger music collection than anybody I can think of. I had thousands of CDs, and I really got into that stuff. And I can hear a song now. You know, I can remember the words to songs from 30 years ago, every single word, because that stuff gets ingrained in us. And the same thing is true with God's Word. If we will let it, if we'll listen to sermons, listen to podcasts, then that stuff will stick in our hearts too. You know, those old songs are not the only things that stick in there. But in the same way, it grieves me too to see people watching movies that are just full of ungodly things, all kinds of ungodly things. And not only watch it, but enjoy watching it. And the whole time, that's poisoning your faith. It's filling your mind full of poison. And like I said, once that stuff is in there, you can't get it out. I can hear a song, even though I've been following Jesus for years, I can hear a song that I heard 30 years ago, and I still remember every single word of it. And then that starts bringing up all the old emotions, all the old temptations, all the old things of my sin nature. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard the old thing, whatever you feed the most is what's going to live, and what you starve is going to die. And that's very true. In our faith, in our sin nature, in our new nature, we have to make a choice to let the old man die and quit letting all the bad input in. That's what the breastplate is for, is to keep that stuff from entering into your heart. So if you're serious about your faith, and if you're serious about living a righteous life, then those are the things that are really going to change your life. You know, if we change what our input is, that will change your life. I took every CD I had, and, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, you could take that and sell it at the pawn shop and get some money, or you could give that to somebody else that likes that kind of music. It's trash. I didn't need it anymore. If it's not good enough for me and my faith, why would I give it to somebody else so that they can get the same trash in their heart? No, I took every bit of it. I didn't just throw it in the trash. I burnt every single one of them because I didn't want somebody else to listen to that stuff. And the same with my movies. I had all kinds of movies and not good movies. I burned all those too. I wasn't going to give those to somebody else so that they could wreck their faith like I had. We got to get the bad input out of our lives, what we watch, what we listen to. And it's not just radio and TV and our CDs and our movies. It's our company too. You know, I think it's 2 Corinthians 15:33 that says bad company corrupts good character. And we've got to start, you know, thinking about who we're hanging out with, because we're getting input from them the whole time that we're with them. And, you know, that stuff sticks in your head. So we have to change our input. If you really want your life to change, you have to change your input. And, you know, that's what Paul was telling them in Ephesians. You got to get rid of all that stuff and not keep doing it and expect good results. We've got to get that stuff out of our lives. If you remember when we first started this, he was telling them in chapter 4 and 5 that you got to get rid of these things out of your old life so you can start your new life. In Ephesians 4:27, it says, don't give any place to the devil. And when we're listening to that old music and watching those old movies and getting that bad input, that's exactly what we're doing. Pull his teeth. Get that stuff out of there. You know, don't give any place to the devil. In verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. You know, change the way we talk. If we know certain people that all they're going to do is gossip and tell dirty jokes and this and that, then we need to start hanging out with a different crowd. You know, are we really genuine in our faith? If we want a different life, we've got to start doing different stuff. And that really includes our input, because if we still got that stuff pouring in, it's going to continue to come out and our life is not going to change. And, you know, in verse 30, it says we need to stop grieving the Holy Spirit by just drinking in that stuff all the time, while at the same time, the Holy Spirit is trying to lead us in the right direction. You know, it grieves him when he's trying to give us new life, trying to bring us to life spiritually and show us how to live for Christ. But we keep pouring in that old stuff and not fully surrendering. We've got to be all in, like the belt said. And we've got to use the breastplate for what it's for us, to deflect anything that would harm our hearts. And if it's not okay with God, you know, stop doing it. Stop listening to it. Stop watching it. Or stop saying it. You know, some of you might remember this from a few weeks ago if you were here. But in Ephesians 5 and verse 10, you know, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. That one verse right there, if we would go through our day while we're doing our decision making, actually take the time, is this okay with God? You know, that would change what we do a lot of times. And, you know, Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, all those verses in there are things we need to do first and then put on the armor of God to protect our faith. If you really have on your belt and if your faith is genuine, and if you really want to live a righteous life that pleases the Lord, we have to stop doing things that are not okay with Him. You know, God's plan for all of us is first to be saved ourselves and then allow Him to change our lives so that we can live righteously for Him and lead other people to Christ. I remember an old sermon that Charles Stanley did years ago. I don't know how long ago, but it's been a long time ago. But he called it the three calls of God that every Christian has. The call of salvation, that's when we get saved. We come to Christ and surrender our life to Christ. The call for sanctification, and that's what we're talking about tonight, is getting the things out of our life that don't belong there, letting God sanctify us and start living a life that pleases God. And then our third call is a missionary call. You know, we're supposed to share Christ with others, but we'll never be that missionary with willful sin in our lives. We'll never be that missionary with things in our life that do not please God. We'll never enjoy a righteous life with those things in our lives that God's not okay with. And, you know, if I know I'm living in a way that's not pleasing to God, I'm not going to be telling others about Jesus. I'm not going to be telling them about the new life that He'll give them, because I'm not experiencing it myself. I'm not living it myself. The only way I'm going to do that is if I let God remove these things from my life. And I always tell you, God's a gentleman. He's not going to rip stuff out of your life. He allows us to do the things that we do. We have to choose to carefully determine what pleases the Lord. And again, you know, I try to reiterate this every week. You know, I'm not talking about salvation because I believe a lot of people do get saved, and then they never do anything for the Lord. They come to Jesus, they surrender, and they mean it in the moment, and they do get saved, and they have received salvation. But they never change their life, and they never lead another person to Jesus because they're not willing to change their lives. And, you know, I've heard people preach that somebody like that has never been saved at all if there's no change. But I don't believe that, and I won't say that. You know, I tell you all the time, the only people that know the answer to that are you and the Lord. But if you really want to live a righteous life and lead other people to the Lord and lead a life that pleases the Lord, then we've got to make those changes. We've got to use the breastplate and let it be the filter for your life. You know, what comes in and what goes out. You know, we have to let God's word be the filter. Not society, what they say is good. Not the world, what it says is good. And not our friends, what's popular, what they say is right and wrong. We have to let God's word be the standard of what is allowed in our life. You know, last night in CR, we had a pretty good small group. We had a really good small group. And we were going around the table and we kept talking. You know, this person would say, well, I surrendered this much of my life, but I hadn't surrendered all of it. But everybody said that they had surrendered some, started talking about the improvements in their life. You know, well, I've got a better relationship with my daughter. I've got a better relationship with my wife. I've got, everybody had improvements. And we got to talking, well, you surrendered this much and life got this much better. You surrendered this much and life got that much better. You know, what's keeping us from surrendering the rest of it? You know, we're the ones holding ourselves back from getting the life that we want. It's not God. Whatever we surrender to Him, He's going to take it. And then who knows what He's going to do from there. But every, you know, the more we surrender, the more change is going to take place in our life. And if it's change from God, it's going to be good change. So use that breastplate. Let it be the filter in our life. You know, if it's not okay with God, don't do it. Or stop doing it if you're still doing it. And start getting the right input in our lives. But that's my message for tonight. And I thank y'all for listening to it. And I hope that helps somebody. I really do. I wish somebody would have preached a message like that to me about 10 years ago. Because I really needed it. And next week, we'll be picking up in verse 15. Where it's talking about having our feet shod with the gospel of peace. We'll be talking about our shoes. But I never want to close a message. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. If you know your relationship with God is not right, and you know there's things in your life you want to get rid of, or if you just want to surrender your life to Christ and make Him your Lord, it's really simple. All you got to do is tell God, I know my relationship with You is not right, and I want to surrender my heart to You today. You tell God that, and He'll meet you right there. You know, Romans 10, verse 9 says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, there's our heart again. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you really believe in your heart that you're not right with God, and you believe Jesus is who He says He is, then just invite Him in. Say, please save me. Come and be my Lord. And if today's the day you're doing that, then tell somebody, I'm giving my life to Jesus today. Tell God that out loud. God, I'm giving You my life. And the Bible says if you've done that, then you are saved. You know, I always tell you, don't listen to people that tell you, you got to get it all together. You got to straighten up and get in church. We can't do that on our own. You come to God and surrender to Him, and He is the one that makes us into a new creature. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No matter what you've done or are doing. One of my favorite verses is Romans 5:8. It says, God commended or showed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Like we've been talking about, we're all born a sinner. And that's why Jesus came. He gave us a way to be made right with God. And so we can spend eternity with him. And that verse right there is also proof of what we were talking about a while ago. You know, we are all born sinners, but we can become saints by being obedient and surrendered to God. Paul says, while we were yet sinners, you know, that implies we're not sinners anymore. We're saints, and we still sin. We still mess up. That's when we go to God and say, I messed up. Please forgive me. You know, cleanse me from this and move on. We can live a good, righteous, godly life, but we've got to do it God's way. We can't do it our way and expect to be righteous. But thank you all again for listening to me. And like I said, next week we'll pick up in verse 15 and talk about our shoes. But thank you all again for coming out. And thank you for watching if you're tuning in online. Let me pray for us and we will be dismissed. God, thank you again for this message. Lord, I'm just thankful to you for the things that's bringing to light in my own life, Lord. You know, some of the input that I've been allowing. I pray that you'll help me to bring those things to you, Lord. And, you know, make sure whether or not things are okay with you instead of just doing them and doing what pleases myself. Please help me do like we just read a minute ago, God, to carefully determine what's pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to make the decisions to do the things that are pleasing to you. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for loving us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.